Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning, Metroplex. It is a Cowboys Monday after America's team gives a lifeless performance offensively. The defense ended up doing their job, but you scored 9 points while limiting Pat Mahomes in the offense to 19. That's extra disappointing. Cowboys are now 7-3 after losing 19-9 at Arrowhead, and it was that man, Chris Jones, who moved back inside and dominated this offensive line. From left to right, they all got worked. The Connor McGovern switch did not appear to be a big upgrade. McGovern played left guard. That's why he got a toe low. Jerry confirmed it Friday with KMC. But Terrence Steele got beat on the sack fumble where he didn't seem to know what the snap count was. Leo Collins was a step slow at times. Zach Martin even got beat by Chris Jones. And the offensive line grades are not going to be very good, Choppy. Did Kansas City find a blueprint? Did they copy a blueprint? I called this game Denver Light, Diet Denver. Now, it wasn't as bad because the defense was not as bad. That's it. Dak was off. Receivers with 4 drops. Offensive line could not block. Everything was going wrong for them. Dak was asked afterwards if Kansas City followed that blueprint from the other team in the AFC West.
No, we just didn't execute. I mean, Fangio went man. And I mean, obviously we beat that last week and this team did as well. They're physical on the outside. They did a good job of that. But we've got to fight through that. We've got to make throws, make catches. And if we do that tonight, it's a whole different game.
You know, I told you this in the commercial break. I find it interesting. Teams continue to play man against the Cowboys. And I would think that's exactly what they want. I think that'd be a death sentence with the talent that you have to beat corners in man-to-man coverage. I guess it's obviously different when you don't have Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb who leaves with a concussion.
Well, I mean, it also could throw the guys off the routes a little bit. If you press them, you know, there's a lot of timing that goes on. You know, the Patriots did this to the Colts in the last decade, you know, in the aughts. They really now it's different rules. You could clutch and grab. You can't do it anymore. But that's how they threw them off their route. And you have when you have elite receivers, the only thing you can do as a defensive player is make sure they don't get onto their route the way that they want to, and it throws the timing off. Like that's your best defense. It really is. And maybe playing man is the way to go. Tom Brady picks apart zone. You want to find a way to lose to Tom Brady really easily. Play a zone against him. If you play man, you got to have a chance.
Mm. Cowboys had scored at least 2 touchdowns in every game this year. That's why they had the number one offense coming in. Besides Micah Parsons, maybe a little bit of Dalton Schultz, a play from Jayron Kearse, it was star downs for everybody else. And Dak, he just did not play well. I don't know whether it was the wind. I don't know whether it was just his accuracy, but he was at 3.26 yards per attempt at one point in time in this game. Had a bunch of overthrows as well, and they could not take advantage of these 5 consecutive stops, including 2 takeaways that the Dallas defense had. And you're missing Amari Cooper. Mike McCarthy asked his thoughts on players being unvaccinated and missing games like Amari did yesterday, as well as the Raider game on Thursday that he's out for.
I mean, frankly, you know, those decisions are all part of this quest that we're under. So, you know, those things are dealt with on an individual basis.
And McCarthy can't say too much because he admitted when all this pandemic first started, he was hesitant and he was like, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get the shot. Then the NFL is basically like, if you're coaching and you're right under a coach in the building, you have to be vaccinated. But Amari Cooper going to miss the game against his former team.
Yeah, and I don't like the protocol that, you know, if he's just because he's unvaccinated, that even if he tests negative twice, that he is still out. To me, a negative test is a negative test regardless of your vaccination status. But that's the NFL rule. The NFL wants to make they did this on purpose. So everybody gets vaccinated. That's what they did. They made the rule like that. And it does stink. And it's going to hurt the Cowboys here. He is a very good player. And they missed him yesterday. He missed his route running ability yesterday. Big time.
877-881-1053. Autoflex Leasing Fantex with Noah Brown dropping footballs. Cedric Wilson had a humongous drop as well. And I guess we got to wait and see if Dak Prescott being off here as of late. Now, again, he was running for his life. Okay, he was under siege, but is this going to become a little bit more of a habit? Kay Wood, one of our top Tolos, tweeted, man, Cowboy fans are overreacting, missing our two best defensive players, the left tackle, the two best receivers. You're on the road, and you lost by 10. I mean, that's a very good point to put into perspective.
Yeah.
You did not have Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Tyron Smith, Randy Gregory, and Tank Lawrence. Those are five damn good football players. You know, those are five really good players.
Yes.
100%. It'd be like the Chiefs not having Chris Jones, Honey Badger, Kelsey, Tyreek, and their left tackle. You wipe that off of any team, you're going to be in trouble.
Yes, 1,000%.
And then you don't play sharp, and you have no chance. And they were not sharp.
1,000%. It is it's a very tough thing to do to play without your best players. Now, every team plays it without injury, plays with injuries. They all play with their best players. But also remember this. Like, the Cowboys have lost three games this year. One of them was to the Super Bowl champs on the road. One was to the Super Bowl runner-up on the road. And the other one was to Denver. Like, you're not going to play perfect. The Denver game, that is what it is. The Titans, for crying out loud, have lost the Jets and the Texans. The Bills just got worked by the Colts. The Steelers beat the Bills. The Jaguars beat the Bills. Like, you're not going to play perfect all the time. For the Cowboys to have two of their losses be to the only two teams that played the Super Bowl. They still only have two teams in a Super Bowl each year, right?
I think so.
They still roll? Okay. Come on. Like, let's not lose our minds here.
All right. In the NFC East, you got the Giants against the Buccaneers tonight, but everyone else did their job in the division, including Filthy.
Hurts gives it off inside, and no, he keeps it, and he's running forward on a fake. He's at the 10, he's at the 5, he's in for the touchdown! What a fake! What a fake by Jalen Hurts to seal this Eagles win! A 24-yard run.
Yeah.
Boy, did he make magic happen.
40-29, the Eagles win. They're 5-6. Again, the Jalen Hurts conundrum. What do you do with him moving forward? He rushes for three touchdowns. He only threw for a 147. But here's Philadelphia now, RJ, when you look at the conference and the schedule, and you and Kavanaugh are liking their chances.
Like their chances. They got the Giants and Washington. What, four? They have four games remaining with those two teams? And the Jets?
Okay. And the Cowboys at the end of the year, when we might be sitting people, we're 7-3. The Eagles are 5-6. That's still a nice lead in the division.
Yes.
Washington's 4-6. Giants are 3-6.
So the Eagles have the Giants, the Jets, the football team, the Giants, the football team, and us. Like, hello. Like they're gonna win five straight here.
They're the number 9 right now.
Yeah. Now they'll wind up being 11-7.
They've won two straight, 3 of 4. So Giants, Jets, that would make it 4 straight. If they beat Washington at home, that would be 5 straight. Then the Giants home, that could be 6 straight before you're at Washington again.
They're gonna make the playoffs during a rebuild. Like that's not good.
But it may force them to stay married to Hurts,
which is fine. Hurts is good.
Okay, you're in on
Hurts
now.
Well, right now he's playing well. He's playing very, very good.
All right.
Very, very good.
So,
very well. What is the word?
Washington, very, 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 well. Very, very. Washington beats Carolina. Ron Rivera's return going up against Cam Newton. And if you shut it down last night because you were in a bad Cowboy mood, you missed an awesome ending to Sunday Night Football.
Herbert in the gun, gets the snap, he's back to pass, looking left, throws left, got a man wide open, it's caught, down the sideline, 30, 25, 20, inside the 10, end zone, touchdown Chargers, it is Mike Williams, a 53-yard touchdown throw from Justin Herbert, and the Chargers have gone back in front. You've got to be kidding.
Bally with the call. Mike Williams is a stud. 53-yard game winner. The Chargers were up, and then Pittsburgh comes back. Block punt, interception, fourth down, stop. They were up 37-34 with 3.5 left, and then Herbert finds Williams. The Chargers win a fantastic game, 41-37. I did not know the Steelers were capable of scoring that much.
No, I didn't either. And this was, this was a game you thought was in the bag if you were betting on it. It was 27-10, and you had Chargers by 6. And all of a sudden, here comes Pittsburgh. It was just a furious try to come close, as Michael Irvin would call it. He wouldn't call it a comeback.
A come close?
A come close.
The big game in college football, what? It wasn't a close game? Utah against number 3, Oregon. And we're going to have a change in the rankings tomorrow night.
It's always a great night to be a Ute. The Utes are Pac-12 South champions, and they have beaten the third-ranked team in college football by a final score of 38-7.
So Utah upsets number 3, Oregon. Utah was a favorite in this game by 3. So they upset Oregon 38-7.
Wow.
Number 4, Ohio State beat number 7, Michigan State, in a game you heard right here on 105 through the Fan, 56-7.
So when you looked at the spread for this game, I was asking you, how is it a 19-point spread for 4 versus 7? This is how. And Sandler, I'm sitting there watching in Broken Bow, Oklahoma with Sandler. Whoa! And he just crushed this game. He took Ohio State. He took the under 70. Ching, ching.
Yeah, I was 1-1. Took the under, and I took Michigan State. 56-7. It was 49-zip at the half. 49-zip at the half.
Yeah.
Michigan State had a big bag of nothing in this game. So, Ohio State is going to leapfrog Alabama, I think, on Tuesday when it comes to the College Football Playoff Committee.
Mm.
They're going to move into number 2.
Alabama beats Arkansas by 7.
Yep. Bama wins. So
and you took Arkansas to cover.
Yes, it did. They will. Ohio State will be 2nd. Bama will be 3rd. And then we're going to find out. We're going to find out this week whether or not Cincinnati has a chance or not. Because if Michigan jumps Cincinnati, Cincinnati's number 5, Michigan's number 6 in the committee. Since he won 48-14, Michigan won by 41 points over Maryland. If Michigan jumps them, they're telling us there is no chance. Texas loses their 6th straight, first time since 1956 that they've lost 6 straight games.
Ooh.
The only thing keeping Sark employed is the fact that LSU and Florida jobs are also open, and they don't want to have to compete for a head coach.
6 straight
losses. You lost to West Virginia, Kansas. You lost to...
Oh, you're not going to be able to name all 6.
Baylor. Let's see, West Virginia, Kansas, Baylor, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and did they lose to... No, they didn't lose to Tech. Hang on, don't tell me. Don't tell me.
Not going to tell you because I'm getting ready to move on.
Don't tell me.
Speaking of losing streaks, the Mavs are on one without Luka.
Amir Coffey sneaking up behind Cauley Stein, almost tipped it away, but the Mavericks maintain possession.
So nice. Iowa State.
Porzingis from Brunson for the flush. Timeout Clippers.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
They're going to score.
Brunson to Porzingis. They do score. Slam by Porzingis.
It's a beautiful attack that time by Jaylen.
Call on Bally's, but they lose 97-91 to the Clippers. Paul George had a dunk over the weekend that was off facial. KP scores 25, but RJ? 3 straight losses, 2 against Phoenix, at the Clippers, you lose, and then they're going to take on the Clippers again tomorrow night in L.A. Mavs are 9-7. How about the Stars?
Stars win 4-1 on Saturday against St. Louis, hence with 2 goals, both shorties, as the kids call them, Sean. Next up tomorrow night against Edmonton and the great Connor McDavid, the Mike Trout of the NHL.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's been in the league since 2015. He's already got 2 MVPs. Kid's a stud.
Two?
This past year, And then, like, 2017.
Not a good spot to be in. Now the crowd gets real busy. Prescott is hit from behind, fumbled on a sack. Chiefs pick it up. Chris Jones at the 20, starts left, comes right. And he is slung down by Terrence Steele.
Yeah, Terrence Steele didn't seem to know when the ball was going to be snapped. He struggled. Layell, everyone on the offensive line. I know there's going to be a lot of focus on McGovern versus Williams, but I can name a play where every single, just I don't have to name a play. I can name a player. Chris Jones. Bam. Done. Enough said. Cowboys lose 19-9 at Arrowhead. Brad Sham joining us here on Sean and RJ. Good morning, Bradley. How are you, sir?
I'm all right, boys. How are you?
Well, we were kind of saying, you know, maybe we could take a loss if this is, you know, 40-37 and a thriller and a fun one. But I'm calling this Denver light, Diet Denver. The defense obviously was not as bad. You didn't get killed. But, man, across the board, Brad, it kind of makes it easy to assess in Dak off, line not being able to block, receivers dropping things. How did you see it?
I think that pretty well sums it up. You know, Babe's got an old saying, you can't miss touchdowns. And they missed one on the first play of the game. And then Noah Brown dropped the third down. All these games hinge on three or four little plays.
Yeah.
And, you know, for everything you said, and it's all correct, just give me the drops back. That's something this team has not characteristically done. I do think you're right that across the board, they didn't have the game they wanted in the offensive line. And that doesn't mean every play was bad, but I saw Lyle Collins got beat. I saw Chris Jones beat Zach for a sack. Everybody across the line had a little hand in that. And that will make the quarterback look bad. And then sometimes he has a bad day. And then the receivers, obviously, you just cannot drop those balls. CeeDee Lamb, I think, would like to. We saw CeeDee Lamb catch that ball at the end of the half in training camp. On that play, Tre'Varius Ward, who's had a really good career in Kansas City, he was better. Sometimes that happens. I don't think it's reason to be anything more than a little disappointed. You know, you were looking for a great explosive showdown game between two Titans, and what you got was kind of meh.
Yeah.
But I do think that I would be a little more positive than you just were, Sean, about the defense. I mean, if you're going to hold the Kansas City Chiefs to 19 points without Gregory, Lawrence, and Gallimore, I would say that's encouraging.
Brad, McCarthy made reference to the noise, the wind. How windy was it? Was it really making an impact on Dak?
Real windy. It made an impact on any ball that was thrown or kicked. The Chiefs missed a field goal that just got knocked down going in that direction. And I think that early in the game especially, you can go out in warm-ups, but it's not the same. And it looked to me, Dak will not make an excuse, but it looked to me like on the first play of the game, RJ, he had the wind at his back, and he did not kind of take that into account, and that's why he missed Gallup so badly. And I think it affected some throw. You notice Mahomes didn't throw a lot of balls down the field.
No.
That was a good day for throwing short and running after the catch. And their offense was not as good as the Chiefs' defense yesterday. And if they play again, it might be a different story. They've lost three times. And as long as they are able to get that right, they put a little pressure on themselves. Philadelphia's creeping back. The next two games are winnable but difficult. But if they're the team they think they are, then they've got a good chance to win those. And I would submit to you that when we talk the morning after the New Orleans game, if they have won the next two, then we look back and say they took two out of those three and are at that point 9-3, I think you'd feel pretty good about that. So they were never going to go easily through the season. I'm disappointed, but I'm not really discouraged.
How would you divide up the Prescott pie with just not playing well, rust, and the wind or the elements. How would you divide that up? Do you still think he's trying to work it? I'm sorry, the final thing was offensive line. Offensive line, just not playing well. How do you divide that up for Dak?
I would combine offensive line and the wind. I would say I'd say maybe 60-40. Look, the Chiefs put a lot of pressure on him,
yeah,
and especially right up the middle. And you said it, Sean, at the very beginning. Chris Jones had a phenomenal day, and he's that kind of player.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that got hidden, I think, in the build up to the game. The Chiefs in their first five games gave up 30 points a game, and Chris Jones and Frank Clark, the other end, missed a lot of time in that stretch. And in the last five games before yesterday, they've been giving up 15 points a game. They've been playing great defense. So that is the way they have been playing. What we thought was that the Cowboys' offense would be able to stand up to it. Yesterday it wasn't. If they play again, might be a different story.
Brad Sham, voice of America's team, on with Sean and RJ every Cowboys Monday at this time. I mean, I wish I knew someone who advocated for the drafting of Michael Parsons, because that person would probably be feeling real good about his eye and his call. Well, do you know anyone we could ask about that?
You know, you can look around, check your tapes, and see if your conversations with anybody suggested that maybe that would be a good move.
So does yesterday change your mind whatsoever about having RJ's wish come true and having him primarily play defensive end when he has a game like that wreaking havoc?
When you put it that way, I would say just the fact that it could keep RJ's wish from coming true I would say no. They did a good job of switching him around. He did a lot of it from right end, but they've got their starting right tackle yesterday is their third string right tackle, and they've been playing with him for several weeks. Mm. You know, he can do that. But what you have to ask yourself is when you have – now, I'm not talking about the future, although I don't think this – I think the same thing applies. But let's just talk about the rest of this year. You know, get 2 weeks down the road and you've got Gregory and Lawrence back. And you don't want Parsons limited to playing one spot when he could provide that rush on occasion when the defense doesn't know it with those other two guys in there. He can rush from the middle. He can cover on the perimeter. And he's just too versatile and valuable to make him a hand-in-the-ground defensive end, besides which those hand-in-the-ground defensive ends also have to play the run, and Gregory and Lawrence are better at that than Parsons is as a defensive end. He's got a chance to be great doing what he does. I think they're using him really well. I just give Dan Quinn and his staff a lot of credit for knowing exactly on the week, according to the opponent, where to put Parsons and use him best.
All right, now it's my turn, Sean. Is he better as an edge than Randy Gregory?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. What about Tank?
No.
Okay. All right, well, if you feel that way, then that's fine. How about this?
You ruined his whole setup.
Because, you know, you're 0 for 2 so far in those two comments, because he's the best edge rusher in the game, not named T.J. Watt, I think. Would you be in favor of moving Diggs to safety just to keep the offenses honest and not know what's going on?
Who else is playing corner?
Would you be in favor of moving Zach to center? Hey, just so the defensive line doesn't know what really is going to happen. Like, that's the thing with the versatility. Like, who cares? Like, he's a better edge rusher than he is a middle linebacker. Like, he's the best edge rusher in the game, not named T.J. Watt.
First of all, I would not call him necessarily middle linebacker when you're playing only two linebackers a lot, number one.
Fair.
And number two, you didn't want to believe me on draft day, so the fact that you don't agree with me now doesn't bother me in the least. And I'm just going to say that over time, we're going to find out that the best way to use him is going to be mostly as a linebacker who can rush from time to time from various places when they need him.
Brad, you know there's always this knock on the Cowboys of, okay.
RJ's upset with me right now. Isn't he?
No, I'm all for, like this guy as an edge rusher makes that draft pick the best draft pick of the year. Leaving him just as a linebacker is, like, to me.
What's his best game this year, RJ?
This one.
No, Minnesota.
But Minnesota plays a Big Ten offense. Of course, they use a fullback. Of course it was going to be good. He's used to playing Iowa.
Well, then you're right. I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm
talking about. I'm right. I know. You just admit it.
Brad.
I know you know you're right. Yes, Sean. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, you know that there's this knock against Dak and this team, you know, against over 500 teams. And, yeah, you're supposed to be a contender, but can you really prove it? You got to beat the Tampas, and you got to win a game like that against Kansas City at Arrowhead for us to really think you're a legit Super Bowl contender. Do you agree with that thinking?
I understand it. I don't feel that way, but this is the exact same. Look, he knows that. He's going to have to deal with that until they win those games all the time. And it doesn't matter how many other difficult games, you know, the Chargers, that was a pretty good win for him. It doesn't matter how many other ones he wins. Until he wins the ones that he doesn't win that people want him to win to prove it, then he's going to hear that. That's not how I feel about him, but that is what people are going to say, and they're going to have the right to say it until he gets to the point where he's able to overcome the deficiencies around him. Now, drop passes is a hard thing to overcome.
Yeah.
If you look at those drops, I mean, he did – the protection wasn't always great. He's got a tremendous sense of moving in the pocket and getting to a place where he can deliver the ball. Those throws were on the money. And as Tom Brady's wife once brilliantly said, he can't throw it and catch it too. So, you know, when you have to go back and look at those drops and look at the throws on those drops and then tell me what your problem is with the quarterback. But the criticism is understandable. And it's whether it's well-founded or not, it's going to keep coming until they win those games.
How surprised were you that Tyron did not play? And are you hearing, are you getting the feeling that when he does, like, we can feel good about him for the rest of the season? Because the other common criticism is when he's out, it's a house of cards and everything crumbles.
I was not surprised because I really didn't know what to expect. The one thing that I find a little difficult to understand is the explanation, and McCarthy gave it in part in our pregame conversation, that we were looking at a short week. I asked him specifically, was this a big picture thing or did he have a setback? He did not say he didn't have a setback. Mm. What he said was, if you're putting them in a category, I would say it's more big picture. It almost made it sound, I don't want to put these words in their mouth, but it almost made it sound like they were saying, let's rest him here and we'll have him back for Thanksgiving and then we can have him on a 7-day stretch for New Orleans. And I don't know why Kansas City or the Raiders would be one more important than the other. They're the same game. They're both AFC games. So my sense is that once he comes back, that he'll be over it, and it shouldn't be something that's nagging.
Player show tonight?
No player show on the Monday of Thanksgiving. We always give them the week off because it's Thursday. It's
Wednesday.
Actually, some hybrid day. I don't know what the hell day it is.
it's Wednesday.
Not before the Thanksgiving game.
Do you eat before, during, or after the game?
Our crew has had a little tradition that we had to do away with last year because of COVID. Bob Thomas, our great statistician, and his wife Marla live in Arlington, just a few minutes from the stadium. So we eat, most of us as a crew, before the game. And then, you know, after the game, but it'll be 8:30 or 9 o'clock by the time I get home. I'm pretty well done then. But if there's food laying around,
yeah,
I may.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate it. We'll hear you Thursday.
All right, boys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Brad Sham on Sean and RJ.
Snap back. Time rushed from behind. Parsons has it. And the ball's out. And the Cowboys have it at the 41 of Kansas City. Parsons with the sack. Basham with the recovery. Let's see if that awakens the Cowboys.
And let's see if that ends the argument. Declaring RJ Choppy the winner. Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station 105 through the Fan. Zero in for Troy. Is this the second time you've played this song as a rejoin?
No.
Okay.
No, he's played other ones.
Is he just going to all the Metallica?
Yes. No, this is Pantera.
Oh, Pantera. Okay. Because you came back from that festival, and I didn't know he's going to try to infiltrate, take over Troy's music. We went from Triple H to Pantera here on the morning show. So that's Zero getting in his fix. He'll be in tomorrow as well when Jerry Jones joins us live at 8:30 and Cowboy calls at 8. Vent, go off, do whatever you want, just don't curse. 8 o'clock. Cowboy calls after they lose to KC 19-9. And the lone bright spot, you can throw half a star to Dalton Schultz and Tony Pollard. They could split a star. Half a star up for each. Obviously, Micah Parsons was a freaking stud, and it is so fun and exciting to see what this guy can do rushing the passer. 877-881-1053. Did yesterday change your mind and convince you that he should primarily be playing defensive end? Micah was asked this question after the game. Thank you to the reporter who finally asked this question. Would you rather play one position? You want to line up there at defensive end, get all the money, you know, be the acclaimed pass rusher, become TJ Watt, or do you want to remain a pocket knife?
Nah, man. Like, I think that just limits to what I can do. You know what I mean? When I make plays sideline, sideline, linebacker, hawking receivers, and you guys be like, oh, why would you move him to end? You know what I mean? So I think Q and Coach George and AD is doing a really good job of moving me around, letting me play to my strengths, knowing what games to play me at end, knowing what games to play me at linebacker. And I'm just happy that, you know, they drafted me with a plan.
Micah Parsons is now the second rookie in the last 20 years with 8 or more sacks and 40 or more tackles in his first 10 career games. The other, local, 2011 Defensive Rookie of the Year, Von Miller, coming out from A&M. And, of course, Micah matching up with DeMarcus Ware to tie the rookie sack record yesterday after he got to Mahomes. What does that mean to the kid?
That means I just got to keep being who I am and keep working. I mean, those are all milestones and great milestones to reach, but there's so much more out there that I got to reach. And I'm just hungry and get more and more hungry every time, every week. And I think right now it's just glimpses. I still ain't really found my true self yet.
Floor is yours, Ralph. I'm going to go get some coffee.
I mean, the guy's got, what, 9 sacks already? He's a part-time rusher. He's 10th in the league in sacks. He's one of the most efficient pressure artists in the game.
Pressure artist, I like that.
Could you imagine having T.J. Watt and Micah Parsons on the same team?
Oh, don't.
They could have had.
Don't bring that up.
But we don't need to find T.J. Watt. We have T.J. Watt. His name's Micah Parsons.
The Lions always hungry.
He's got 8 sacks, not 9, 8.
Tied
for 10th in the league.
Did he not get 2 yesterday? Because NFL.com says he has 9. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Okay. Either way, he's amazing. Like, the dude is an elite edge rusher. I've only found one person in the entire world who still thinks linebacker is more important than edge rushing, and it's not Brad Sham. It's some dope with the fan text that anybody who actually played the game says defensive end is not as important as linebacker, which would be like, well, every scout, general manager, and coach in the league says defensive end is more important than edge than linebacker, so whatever, dude. There is no such thing as versatility. Stop that.
Well, here's what Mahomes said. He said, Mike is a special player.
Don't care.
To be that.
Is Mahomes a player?
Yes.
Don't care what he has to say. Stop appealing to authority that players and coaches know more than other people do just because they're players and coaches. Players still think the play action needs to be run through a running game. It doesn't. We've proven that.
Mahomes said, to be that good of a linebacker and be able to play DN, there's not a lot of guys in the league like that. Has a high motor. He chased me down on that sack the whole game. He was in there the whole time. Battling and battling. That was Mahomes.
Okay, so they say that he got three sacks yesterday on the fan text. I guess they didn't count Mahomes' play action as a sack. So we'll see what they may have counted that as a tackle for a loss.
Micah aligned at edge on a career high number of snaps. 56 of 58.
Yeah, 97%.
97%. And he had a career high 7 pressures, leads the NFL with a 19% pressure rate this year.
Okay. So that's wrong.
I thought I saw a 12.
Yeah, he had 12 pressures. So he had 12 pressures.
What I just read was from next
right. gen. Right, and Seth Walter, who's from ESPN, says he had 12.
Okay.
I go, Seth, he had 12 pressures, 36% of the time that he rushed the passer, he got pressure on him. 36%. Guys.
That's crazy.
This is not even a discussion anymore.
Does it matter that he was doing it against third string?
No, it doesn't.
Tackle.
Because Joey Bosa was doing it against Terrence Steele, who's a backup. And Joey Bosa couldn't do, you know what? I almost said it. Stop. You don't sit there and say, well, you know, Dak can run the football, so why don't we line him up at running back one play? Let's do that. Let's put Cooper Rush out there, and we'll put Dak at running back on a goal line play. You don't do that.
Have the Tolos agreed?
I could tell the ones who don't agree.
Okay.
I could tell the ones that don't agree because they're texting from a landline. All right. I could tell the ones that don't agree with this. They're emailing in from a Hotmail account, an AOL, a Juno. They got a Bing. I could tell the ones that don't agree.
I have Hotmail.
I know. I could tell the ones that don't agree. Is it split?
Is it 80-20? No. Is it?
No, it's Micah needs to be playing defensive end or edge rusher of some kind.
Edge rusher.
Guys, we are well past the versatility argument, okay? It never existed anyway. You don't move Diggs to safety just to keep the offense honest. You don't do that. I don't care who the other corner is. You keep the elite guys in the elite positions. He is better than Tank Lawrence and Randy Gregory as an edge rusher. He is. This is a meritocracy. When you find somebody who is that good at what they do, you make exceptions, and you move him to that spot.
Micah was asked, do you think quarterbacks have gotten a grasp of just how fast you are out there?
Not really, but this guy keeps showing them every week. Just got to keep just using my speed, using my strength, and keep going downhill and keep doing what I'm doing, and they'll eventually see.
So there's Micah Parsons right now. It looks like Ralph is winning the debate after yesterday. Man, that was awesome.
Micah can want to play linebacker. I'll tell you what he doesn't want to be at contract time. That's a linebacker.
That's true.
All right. The Cowboys want to keep him a linebacker for the contract.
Yes.
But, I mean, we are past that. We are past that. You know, him chasing down running back side to side. Would you rather have him stop a running back for a 4-yard gain or sack a quarterback for a 7-yard loss? I don't even get it. I can't.
This is from Brandon. That got crossed up. This is about Van Der Esch. Here we go. G from Jersey. Is Van Der Esch not contributing anything to this defense? I feel like I'm watching Jalen Smith out there all over again. He's not as slow and unathletic as Jalen, but man, he looks like he belongs in the 1980s with the way he looks. The way he dresses and the way he plays, man, it's over. I think around here for Van Der Esch. He is only, get ready. There's an old segment on G-Bag called Old Yeller.
And that what happened yesterday kind of goes to show you that it doesn't really matter. He had one tackle. He was horrible.
One tackle?
That's what I saw. I saw a meme, one tackle.
Yeah.
He was that bad. And the defense gave up 19 points.
He does nothing explosive. He does nothing that looks like really athletic out there. I can't think of the last like game-changing or game-impacting play that he made.
Yeah. The coverage was good on the outside, and the pass rush was good from Micah. You know, you can get away with Van Der Esch or anybody really there. When you have somebody as he's a disruptor. He's a great disruptor.
877-881-1053. So while this game was going on, you know, I had a couple issues with officials. And then just throughout the league, every taunting penalty drives me crazy. Hang on. I'm going to ask a stupid question. That Chiefs player, there was two tauntings yesterday. One was Clyde Edwards going across the goal line. And in the first shot, I didn't see what he had done. I was like, you're calling that taunting?
He pointed, right?
But he was doing a wave. You know, he was doing a wave as he went across. The player that Kelvin Joseph got into it with, was that a, what was that mannerism or sign that he was doing? Was that something that...
I wouldn't pay attention to it.
Okay.
I don't think I noticed
it. He, like, put both hands up there. I was like, he's not shooting a gun, is he? No way. You know what I'm talking about, Zero? With after the sideline...
I didn't see that.
After he got his face mask grabbed. This is when they changed on the video board. I was wondering what the gesture was. I was curious about that. Troy was on a special video call with T.O. Great question. I wonder who gave it to Troy. He asked him about taunting. Imagine T.O. playing with this stuff.
You're without question one of the greatest wide receivers in NFL history. What you're able to do with your hands, your feet. But let's be honest, also your skill set had to do with your mouth. And so with the taunting penalties and everything that's being addressed with taunting in the NFL today, how does that make you feel as one of the best trash/taunting guys out there in league history?
Well, honestly, if you think about it, and I know a lot of people think that I talked a lot of trash during the game, but if you think about all the sound bites and highlights and clips or whatever, all of that was done on the sideline. Like, I was doing all that stuff on the sideline. So I never really doing a lot of trash talking during the course of the game. I tried that one game, and that was the game that it was Jerry Rice's last game. And that was the game that I broke a record at that point in time. I tried to talk a lot of trash because they were double-teaming Jerry. They were trying to roughhouse him. The defense knew that we were trying to send him out on a high note. They were double-teaming him, and I ain't obviously a benefactor of a lot of catches because of that. And then, like I said, I backed up what I said because a lot of people, especially from a media standpoint, they started to label me selfish, arrogant because of the way that I played, the way that I carried myself, because I had swag. And that wasn't me talking trash. I never really even taunted. Yeah, you can deem, I guess, a little bit some of the celebrations a bit excessive, but there was really no rules against what I did. I tried to do everything within the confines of what was in the rule book. I tried to have fun with the game. And everything, if you think about it, everything that I was criticized for and vilified for is now being embraced by the National Football League. So obviously I was doing something right. It was just at the wrong time.
So there's T.O. with his taunting answer. DJ on Twitter just tagged us in, let's see, NFL on Fox, no comment, Rashad Fenton machine gunning the crowd. All right, I thought that was something like that. And I was like, what is that right there? So it'll be interesting to see what the league does about that. Calls, unleash, go off, just don't curse. 877-881-1053. You can go star up, star down, say whatever you need to say after that Cowboy performance in Kansas City. 877-881-1053. Hit us up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle.
vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.